It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Putin is backing a person that's truly an evil person. This is an animal. Even some of the worst tyrants in the world didn't use the kind of gases that they used. And some of the gases are unbelievably potent.
I trust he regrets it now, considering the damage done to his Air Force. When I say he should think long and hard about it, I'll just let the mission speak for itself on that score.
The Assad regime, the Iranians, and Hezbollah. Is that a long-term alliance that serves Russia's interest?
All right, the three statements I thought were excellent from President Donald Trump and then from Mattis, Secretary of Defense Mattis. You know, as I was making notes here, I wrote down Assad, so I'm tripping over my words. That was not Assad speaking. That was General Mattis. And then Rex Tillerson, of course, who's the Secretary of State, who is in Moscow. Must be some very interesting conversations going on. I wonder if the NSA is spying and if the Washington Post will leak those conversations, you know? We probably will read about it in the New York Times, you know, spelled out exactly what was said, what they had for dinner. I mean, it's amazing. All right, but I digress. The point is that the strike in Syria, it seems to me at this point, did the job. It sent the message to the international community that this president is not passive, like the last one, will not just continue to move the lines and continue to equivocate and do nothing, that's over. Those days are over. And I think a message was received, and so we're seeing a lot of the pieces of the international puzzle sort of move about. Before we leave the whole issue of Syria, though, Rich Hedson had a good report last night. It's amazing, Vladimir Putin's response to this. I've never quite... Look, he's full of bluster. He's a former KGB leader. He's not an honest person, but he's always seemed to me to be pretty crafty. But this was not so crafty. I'll let Rich Hedson tell you about it.
The highest-ranking Trump administration official to travel to Moscow has arrived. And Secretary of State Rex Tillerson brings his firmest commitment yet to regime change in Syria.
It's clear to all of us that the reign of the Assad family is coming to an end. We are not presupposing how that occurs. But I think it is clear that we see no further role for the Assad regime longer term, given that they have effectively given up their legitimacy with these type of attacks.
The United States, spanning the last two presidential administrations, has declared the coming end of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Yet he remains with and because of Russian government support. Tillerson says that is the key to removing Assad and his visit to Moscow.
Well, I hope that what the Russian government concludes is that they have aligned themselves with an unreliable partner in Bashar al-Assad. And now Assad has made the Russians look not so good under these circumstances.
Tillerson says Assad's chemical attack last week confirms that, as the Russian government brokered a deal to remove those weapons from Syria. Though shortly before Secretary Tillerson's arrival in Moscow, President Vladimir Putin again denied Assad used chemical weapons. He's calling for a UN investigation into last week's Syrian chemical attack. And he says Assad was framed.
We have intelligence from various sources that similar provocations are being prepared in other regions of Syria, including southern suburbs of Damascus, where they are planning to plant chemicals and blame the Syrian government for using them.
Secretary Tillerson says there is no doubt Assad used chemical weapons in the attack that prompted the U.S. strike against the Syrian government. The administration is again pointing out the nations supporting Russia, Syria, Iran, and North Korea. Senior State Department officials say Secretary Tillerson will likely discuss several issues here in Moscow: Ukraine and election interference in the U.S. and Europe, There's also NATO, the defense alliance that has opposed the Soviet Union and Russia for nearly 70 years.
All right, so that was Rich Edson. And here's the part, and then that wasn't real clear in his report. Vladimir Putin is actually accusing the United States in advance of now he's claiming that we're planning more bombings in Syria in which we're going to use chemical weapons and blame it on Bashar al-Assad, which is really a reach. I don't think anyone believes that for a moment, that the United States would do that. So that's what I said. He's becoming a little unhinged. You know, Donald Trump did a report, an interview with the New York Post, and in this interview, he said, we are not going into Syria. Our policy is the same. It hasn't changed. We're not going into Syria. Our big mission is to get rid of ISIS. That's where it's always been. But when you see kids choking to death, you watch their lungs burning out. We had to hit him and hit him hard. And then he said, it's very hard to give that final go-ahead when you know you're talking about human life. We went back and forth and also back and forth about severity. We could have gone bigger in terms of targets and more of them, but we thought this would be the appropriate first shot. We hope he won't do any more gassing. So that's just a portion of his interview in the New York Post to sort of affirm that General Mattis says promises that tensions with Russia over Syria will not spiral out of control. And I think actually Vladimir Putin's silly statement that the U.S. was planning to, you know, use chemical weapons and blame it on Assad and other attacks shows that he's off his game. You know, he's not so cocky and confident, and he's saying silly things. And I think Russia's going to come around on that. And certainly, as I said yesterday, it would appear from people whose minds seem to be pretty discerning on this, that this attack on Syria sent a huge shot across the bow to China. Here's a Chinese president sitting at Mar-a-Lago. And by the way, the Chinese were insulted that they were not asked to come to the White House. They fancy themselves, you know, they are vying for the position of number one in the world. They're very proud people proud militarily, proud of their economic achievements. And so in their custom, because they are more, you know, bound to custom than we are. We are so diverse, we don't have many customs. But they felt that the White House was the chief place they should be going. That's the symbol of America. And so it took some persuading to get them to come to Mar-a-Lago. So now the president comes to Mar-a-Lago, president of China, and while he's there, President Trump, like, leaves him and goes and does a press conference about an attack on Syria. And leaves him for a long time, which in their culture would be an insult and certainly disconcerting, because I think she thought that he was going to be in a position of power with Donald Trump. And I think he miscalculated. And so other Chinese experts are saying that she came with some, that he sort of thought, the speculation is that he could play Donald Trump, play to his ego, offer him a few small things on trade and pacify him and then leave victorious. But what happened was, because of this bombing in Syria, because he wasn't front and center like he thought he would be, he didn't even offer his recommendations, and he went back to China a little bit off balance, as I think Putin is now. And this is a good thing. I have to say, I think this is a very good thing. So now he goes back to China, and you have to understand that North Korea depends on China to buy and sell goods. They are completely isolated from the world because they are a terrorist regime. But China has continued to prop them up. That's why all of this, if anyone can stop North Korea from using their nuclear weapons and disbanding and stopping their constant threats, it is China. And so I just read that China, a report, and I haven't heard this reported widely, but I read it in an account that China's actually turning back ships from North Korea of sales for different items, and have begun the process of cutting off some measure of trade. I don't know how extensive, and that's important. That's huge, because I have to say that North Korea is the most dangerous area right now of conflict. You know, Bashar al-Assad is not going to attack us with nuclear weapons. The Syrians are coming across the border in different ways, and we are concerned about that. Those that are Sharia adherent Muslims, for sure. But They don't have nuclear weapons that they're going to aim at. They're not a direct threat to the safety and security of the United States, not in a conflict. But North Korea is, and North Korea has been developing their nuclear weapons. They have the capability, as I understand it, right now, of reaching the West Coast with atomic bombs, with atomic weapons. And so John Bolton, who I met in 2001 when I came to D.C. for the first time as president of CWA, was at that time begging the Bush administration to go in and stop North Korea. It was a huge issue then, and I had firsthand knowledge of this because I was actually in North Korea on 9/11 of 2001. Those of you that listen a lot probably know that. I was in northern China, in northern Manchuria, and we ended up having, would you say, an opportunity to go into North Korea. It was very difficult. You don't just walk across. Hardly any Americans have ever been to North Korea. I was one of six journalists, and so we were there for 2 days, and we were cut off from the world. The people in North Korea are just cut off. They've been cut off since right after the Korean War. They don't get any information. And to prove that, we were in North Korea when 9/11 took place, heard nothing. We knew nothing until the 12th September, because we came back across the border into northern Manchuria, which is oppressed enough as it is. And that's when we first found out about the attack on 9/11, because we were completely shut off from the world. This is the situation in North Korea. The people are hungry, in many cases starving. All they know is what tiny bit of information they are fed. It's not like there's a radio-free Europe, although when I came back to the United States, I became the chairman of the first North Korea Freedom Coalition. And one of the things that we did was pass the North Korea Freedom Act, and part of that was to get radios, the ability to have a certain kind of radio dropped, airlifted into North Korea so that people could get them and then start hearing some information. But of course, this was very dangerous in North Korea. You just can't imagine the oppression. If you are, and Christianity is the outsized object of their hatred. It's a very interesting story. Kim Jong-il's, that's the grandfather now. There's three generations of the Kim Jongs. Kim Jong-un is the premier, is the president now. But his grandfather had a particular hatred of Christianity. There were a lot of Christians in his family. And Kim Jong-il actually even, in the places where we went, you remember those famous portraits of Jesus in the old Bibles? Those of you that are older and you got a Bible when you were a kid and you saw those beautiful color renderings of Jesus in your Bible. We all had the same paintings. I don't even know who did them, but Jesus was like blonde and blue-eyed. But there was Jesus with the little children, Jesus feeding the 5,000. There were all these really iconic renderings. And so Kim Jong-il took those renderings and posed himself as Jesus, and they did a whole set of renditions of Kim Jong-il feeding the 5,000, Kim Jong-il, you know, attending to the children. So the hatred for Christianity is unbelievable. If you are caught with a Bible, three generations of your family are killed, murdered brutally. And so just to give you an idea, if you're caught with a radio, you can imagine what happens. If you don't wear the pin that bears the picture of Kim Jong-il, your dear leader, every single day, the punishment is unbelievable. You have to wear that pin. So I say all that to tell you that the people don't have any information. They are taught that it's the Americans who are causing their shortages of food, that the USA is the evil Satan, is the thing that must be conquered. They are ready to go to war with us. And they have nothing to lose because they have nothing. And so only China, really, stands between Kim Jong-un and nuclear, really, the beginnings of a nuclear war. Don't think he won't do it, because he will. He's really out of his mind. So that's where the greatest danger is, and that's why the Syrian strike could have, God willing, spared us from something worse if China now, out of their sudden respect for Donald Trump, puts the squeeze on North Korea. So that's kind of the international news this morning, but there's a lot more, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
You're listening to A Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. Does purity, cleanness of heart, mind, and soul matter? Yes, it does matter. And further, it will always matter because it matters to God. God shows that repeatedly in the Bible. Think of King David on top of that roof, looking, lusting, and committing adultery with Bathsheba. You know the rest. His falling to temptation led to other heinous sins, and his life was never the same as his treachery opened the floodgates to other sin, and his family and his kingdom paid a great price for David's uncleanness. Whether young or old, there's a great price that's paid when one lusts over pornography in whatever form or situation. Seek first the kingdom of God and place no evil thing before your eyes. Psalm 101:3a. This is A Decency Minute. Find out more by visiting us on the web at americandecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Truth Be Told with Nate Kellum, Chief Counsel at the Center for Religious Expression.
The state of Alabama is currently fighting to defend in court a law prohibiting the killing of unborn babies through dismemberment. South Carolina is considering a similar law. These bills recognize what science has already proven: an unborn baby is a living person, capable of feeling pain and deserving of dignity. Dismemberment is an unimaginably cruel and painful device that has been universally outlawed as a method for executing the worst of criminals. Yet abortionists in this country demand the right to inflict this pain on little babies. These laws must be upheld. It is terrible enough that babies are legally killed. Allowing them to be tortured is beyond barbaric.
Truth Be Told from the Center for Religious Expression, clearing the path for truth. Hear more at CRELaw.org, CRELaw.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Wayne Mack is the Justice of the Peace in Montgomery County, Texas, just a few miles north of Houston. Before the start of the court day, Judge Mack invites a volunteer chaplain to offer a word of prayer. But the Freedom From Religion Foundation says the judge is out of order, and they filed a federal lawsuit demanding the judge cease and desist the petitions to the Almighty. The perpetually offended group of atheist agnostics and freethinkers was especially aggrieved by remarks the judge made in 2014, telling a gathering at a prayer breakfast that as the justice of the peace, he brings the Prince of Peace to work every day. For the record, the Texas State Commission on Judicial Conduct and the Texas Attorney General say it's perfectly legal to have chaplains in the courtroom. In other words, the Freedom From Religion Foundation's lawsuit may not have a prayer. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
For those that continue to seek improper and illegal entry into this country, be forewarned. This is a new era. This is the Trump era. The lawlessness, the abdication of duty to enforce our laws, and the catch-and-release policies of the past are over.
That was Attorney General Jeff Sessions. I'm getting used to saying that now. And he was at the border in Nogales, Arizona, making his speech. He said, you know, this is the Trump era. The time for not prosecuting or enforcing our laws is over. And so he was on Sean Hannity last night, and he sort of spelled out the great success already that I think you should hear. Let's listen.
It's already changing. Can you believe that we've had the lowest number of entrants at the border in 17 years?
Wow.
This is a direct result of Donald Trump's strong, clear leadership. It has an impact. The most important thing for us is to send a message to the world that the border is not open. Please don't come. You will be apprehended if you do come, and you will be deported promptly. And if you're a criminal, you'll be prosecuted. And if you assault our officers, we're going to come at you with a ton of bricks. This is the kind of message we need to send. It's already being sent. It's having a dramatic impact so far. I knew strong presidential leadership, unlike the wishy-washiness we've seen in the past, would impact the flow, but not as much as we've seen already. The numbers are down 70% since President Obama left office.
70%. The number of people coming across the border is down 70% since President Obama left office. How long ago was that? Less than 100 days. You know, it's just amazing. And so in his speech, meaning Attorney General Sessions, he said, for those that continue to seek improper and illegal entry into this country, be forewarned. This is a new era. This is the Trump era. The lawlessness, the abdication of duty to enforce our immigration laws, and the catch and release practices of old are over. And by the way, the catch and release program was where this is something that Obama ordered. It was not a congressional act. He just ordered it and made the agents catch the people coming across and just let them go and set a court date. But of course, they were not coming back. They were disappearing into the country and assimilating. And, you know, now we have really who knows how many million illegal immigrants in this country. They kept saying 12. They said 12 for eternity. So, you know, that's not true. And if you live in one of those areas of the country where there are lots of illegal immigrants, some of you don't. Some of you live in areas where there still is relatively little of it, so it's hard for you to comprehend. But if you go to places like New York, if you go to Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, if you go to Chicago, if you go to Los Angeles, you understand. In Texas, North Texas, it's just amazing. You will be aware immediately that the country's fabric is changing because we are being so careless about our immigration. And by the way, I wasn't even actually going to talk about this, but I'll just drop this in. You know, I was thinking about that incident on the United Airlines flight. The Vietnamese doctor who was dragged down the aisle because he wouldn't get off the plane. He and his wife were bumped because four crew members needed to take the flight in order to man another airplane at another airport. It's very controversial. I know you've been hearing about it, but this is my observation just for a second. Just a sidebar. I was just thinking, you know, the doctor and his wife are Vietnamese, and I was just wondering, you know, did they in their civics, when they became an American, do they understand that if you're ordered off a plane, you have to go? You know, you don't have rights. If they tell you, if this airline flight attendant tells you to do something, you have to do it. You know, I was on a plane just a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, and trust me, I've had my share of conflict with flight crews of lots of different airlines because it's frustrating now. People are not polite. The passengers are not polite, and neither are the attendants a lot of times. I had a flight attendant not give any warning. She just walked back and started talking. We were sitting in the exit rows, and I was talking to a friend of mine because we had gotten on the plane quite early, and she insisted loudly that I put that phone on my lap immediately, and I couldn't even say goodbye to my friend. So my point is that they can be very rude, but I had to obey her. That's my job. So my friend just had to be the object of my rudeness because you have to respond. Did that Vietnamese couple get the memo on that? Do they understand American law or rules, part of our culture? A lot of people are not getting that message right now, that we actually have to do what law enforcement or the authorities tell us. Anyway, but I digress. So Sessions is giving a speech in Nogales, and he said he stressed the dangers of criminal gangs whose members turn cities and suburbs into war zones, rape and kill innocent citizens, and profit from trafficking people across the border. Depravity and violence are their calling cards, including brutal machete attacks and beheadings. It is here on this sliver of land where we first take our stand against this filth. So that was Attorney General Jeff Sessions taking a strong stand. And, you know, he has stood on that Senate floor for so many years against the tide of his colleagues who were not willing to do the hard things, and he was steadfast, always spoke as a gentleman, always spoke the truth. And now to see him able to actually enforce the laws and do something about this, it is so gratifying, I can't tell you. A couple of other things about that. In the coming budget, though, the GOP leaders are waffling on whether to provide the money for the wall in this budget. Because the Democrats are threatening to shut down the government if they include that amount of money. Well, they're going to shut down the government. You know, if they defund Planned Parenthood, they're going to shut down the government. I'm not sure what the other threats are, but this is, of course, the theatrics that the Democrats are promising. And some are saying that the Republicans are not going to fund this wall. And, of course, then there's the criticism that Donald Trump said Mexicans would pay for the wall. We'll build it, but they'll pay for it. I have to say that based on Donald Trump's record on these things, I would imagine in whatever way it may not. It's obvious that up front, Mexico's not going to write a check. He never said that. But I do think he will extract the money from Mexico because he's determined to do that. So, but up front, they need money to build it. And by the way, it's going to start in San Diego County. There are some 450 companies who have submitted designs for this wall. It's supposed to be 30 feet long and up to 30 feet high. So they're all submitting their various ideas of what this should look like. And so that's something that's on its way. It's on its way to happening, and that is to secure our borders and to beef up our immigration laws and enforcement and bring this country back into some sort of order and make it have a national identity. And you heard on the top of the hour the news. On a different note, it looks like we might have a health care bill. Mark Meadows has been, and members of the Freedom Caucus have been meeting with all the different factions in the House, and it looks like they are close to really actually agreeing on something. Of course, the bottom line, the biggest thing of disagreement is how to handle pre-existing conditions, because, of course, that was a big selling point for Obamacare. And what the Freedom Caucus wants to do is what they call high-risk pools, which would still cover people, but it would not come out of the – it would come from a different funding stream than the insurance companies, and it would stop premiums from being absolutely exorbitant because insurance companies are charging these huge premiums in order to cover expected costs of pre-existing conditions. I'm not explaining it well, but I hope you get the gist of that. So that's what they're wrestling over right now. And it's possible that if they reach an agreement that, remember, we've criticized the House for being on recess. They're only in 7 days this month. It's possible, it looks like, they may call them back from wherever they are, from their districts, from wherever they are, to vote on this if they come to an agreement. So that'll be something. And that makes me remember the pronouncements, like, I'm sorry, I'm picking on Charles Krauthammer a lot lately, but that this is devastating. It's a defeat for Donald Trump, you know, not passing that health care bill by Paul Ryan. It's over. If he can't do that, you know, he's accomplished nothing. This is his main promise. It's terrible. It's a disaster. You know, they all said it. And I said at the time, I will say again, no, are you kidding me? They don't have to do that bill, and they shouldn't do that bill. And so now they're hammering out this process, and Mark Meadows had nothing but the highest of praise for the administration's part in this, because the president has forced the various factions to sit down and work together, and that's something that the leadership in the House was not willing to do. They just presented their version of what they wanted to do. They wrote it behind closed doors. No one knows quite who did write it. It looks like a lot of people on K Street had a part in that. And then they tried to force conservatives to accept it. And they balked. And so God bless them for doing that. And now it looks like we might actually get, I don't know, I can't say what the bill's got in it. I don't know. But I'm confident that Mark Meadows and the other members of the Freedom Caucus are working toward getting the very best bill they possibly can. So we'll see what that is. Now, another bit of good news. There's lots of good news this morning, and that's why I want to make sure I tell you. You may remember that Carrie Severino is a frequent guest on the show. She is the head of Judicial Action Network, and she's an attorney, bright, just she's a little fireball. She's got little, she's not, very old. She's got small children, but she's brilliant, and she is a real leader in Washington on the issue of judicial nominations. Many people credited her with taking this Gorsuch nomination to the finish line. Carrie's got a great mind, and she is, again, a frequent guest on this show. Well, she has a husband named Roger Severino, who's been at Heritage Foundation for a long time. And here's the well, let me just tell you about him before I tell you what's happening with him. He has his law degree from Harvard, a master's degree in public policy, and with highest distinction from Carnegie Mellon, and a bachelor's degree in business from the University of Southern California, where he was a National Merit Scholar. He has worked at Heritage fighting against this social engineering that we talk about so often in public policy fearlessly. He's written some great things. I'll just read to you what he wrote in 2007 as a Beckett attorney for the Harvard Journal of Law. He wrote an article entitled How Same-Sex Marriage Threatens Religious Liberty. And he says, although it is difficult to predict with certainty the long-term efforts of this profound change in the law, it is clear that the effects will be far-reaching. The legal definition of marriage does not exist in isolation. Changing it alters many areas of law. And he goes on to explain it. Then also when Obama Defense Secretary Ash Carter started ordering gender-confused or transgender service members to be allowed, he called a disruption to morale, privacy, and readiness. And then he really challenged, of course, on the details, which I won't spell out right now. He also expressed concerns that the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare bill, would be used to make taxpayers pay for body disfiguring transgender sex reassignment surgery. So that gives you an idea of the kinds of things that he's written and the things he feels passionately about. So here's the deal. President Donald Trump has appointed Roger Severino to head the Office of Civil Rights of the Department of Health and Human Services. He will be working directly under Tom Price. And so they are saying, you know, this is what my understanding at this point is that he will be turning back as best he can the extreme accommodations to LGBT activists in the various agencies in the country, things that are detrimental to the public, like the policy in the military, that are detrimental to the general mission of the war, detrimental to Americans, whether it's in these various agencies in various ways. And Roger will be centered on at least part of that, for sure. I'm sure that's not his entire job, but that's a great pick, and I wanted you to know that. I'm really, actually very excited about that. The White House began right away calling for deep agency cuts, deep personnel cuts over the next year. And so what's happened as a result of that? Well, they're still working on that. In fact, the administration has come under some fire because Donald Trump has failed to nominate, put in place a lot of political appointees. Now, that's a detriment because in many cases the Obama appointees are still in place and they are continuing to do some very bad things. But Trump's position on this is that he does not want to fill positions that are not necessary. He wants to find out what's necessary and what isn't. Every agency is being ordered to deliver an assessment of where they can cut, deep cuts in terms of personnel and spending, waste, where things are duplicated, and they are working very hard on that right now. It's the government reorganization. In fact, Mick Mulvaney, who's the director of the Office of Management and Budget, said that government reorganization is probably the biggest story that nobody is talking about. So I just thought I would share that with you. Also, this sounds like it's kind of a contradiction, but it isn't. The Trump administration is lifting the federal hiring freeze. So federal agencies now can staff in the way that they see fit, but that does not exclude their requirement now to sort of self-examine their own agency and come up with ways to cut the waste. So that is really good news. All right, I have to take a break. I'm actually losing my voice. So before I lose it, I'm going to take a break here. And I'll be back in just a second because there's so much more to say. We may talk about that United Airlines thing. In fact, let's do. Let me just say, we'll retell the story, but if you have a thought on it already, our phone is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Judy Goodell and her husband set up a charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation.
What we love about it is that it represents stewardship principles that we feel strongly about. So we got very, very excited about this opportunity.
With a charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation, an AFA supporter can guarantee a permanent monthly income, as well as supporting the American Family Association for years to come.
We do feel convicted about really praying about all that God has really blessed us with. And so many people we know just want to leave it all to their kids. And we know the danger of that. And so we just are really just trying to pray through it. And God gave us great confirmation as we prayed that this would be a good use of the Lord's money.
Find out if a charitable gift annuity is right for you at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
We often look among the dead for our hope and peace and forgiveness, but He is not there. He is risen. We focus on all that is wrong in our world, and we need to look among the living for our risen Savior.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for a special Easter message next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
You know, if you see a huge group of people and they're all in line waiting to do something and they're all happy about it, don't you wonder, okay, what's going on? What am I missing here? Why are these people so excited? In this case, it's thousands of people doing the same thing. They're joining MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses. It's that simple. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993, so they can handle your healthcare expenses too. With MediShare, you get affordable options to fit almost any budget. For most members, MediShare is about half the cost of other healthcare programs. You should at least check into it. This may be one of those things you start doing and then wonder, why didn't I look into this a long time ago? What was I thinking? Don't miss out. You can find out more. Call 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Rex Tillerson knows his way around Moscow, but this week he is there in an unfamiliar role. He's no longer a senior executive of a vendor to Russia, ExxonMobil, in which capacity he was once awarded the Order of Friendship by Vladimir Putin himself. Today, Mr. Tillerson is Secretary of State of the nation Putin hates most, the United States of America. In that capacity, it is imperative that Mr. Tillerson neither is nor appears to be a friend of a hostile Russia. Given the myriad strains in the U.S. relationship with Russia at the moment, Secretary Tillerson has to demonstrate that Putin's continued hostility will entail costs. For example, he should tell Putin that in light of his long-running efforts to destroy our energy sector, Russia will not be allowed to acquire and operate strategic Citgo refineries and pipelines across America. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
We now know the identity of the passenger who was dragged off the plane in that shocking video.
Oh my God!
And yes, he is a doctor. His name is Dr. David Dow. He is a refugee from Vietnam and now lives in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. He's a lung specialist. He does have a troubling mark in his personal history. His license was suspended in 2003 for obtaining drugs by fraud, but reinstated in 2015. He's also an avid poker player. Here's a photo of him playing in a 2009 tournament.
No! Guys, what are you doing?
The shocking video of Dr. Dow has gone worldwide. He was knocked unconscious, then dragged down the aisle with his face bloody. Why? Get this. He was bumped to make room for a United Airlines employee.
No, this is wrong. Oh, my God. Look at what you did to him.
It happened just before takeoff on a United flight from Chicago to Louisville. The plane was overbooked and four United employees needed seats. The flight crew asked for volunteers to take a later flight, but when no one came forward, four passengers were chosen by a computer and told, get off the plane. They all complied, except for one irate man who said, no way.
He said, no, I'm a doctor. I have to be in tomorrow to see patients. I cannot get off.
So passenger Tyler Bridges shot the dramatic video. He gives this shriek that just gives you goosebumps. Yeah. What was your reaction when you heard him yell?
Everyone on the plane's freaking out. You know, kids are crying. Everyone's upset, really disturbed by the scene there. It looked like he was knocked out. He had a bloody nose, like his nose was busted. Yeah, his glasses were off. He was really in rough shape.
All right, so that was a report from Inside Edition on what happened. And you've all watched it, and you've heard the discussions about it, and people are going kind of crazy on social media, very upset with United. The CEO of United just issued another apology and said they're going to conduct a thorough review. I want to know what you think about it. Do you think that the passenger should have gotten off in more cooperative fashion? Do you think that United Airlines was as evil and wicked in this situation as people are saying? I do want to know what you think about it. Those of you that have flown, had some experience. Obviously, those of you that don't fly much and you just watch the video, then it certainly looks bad. But if you've had some experience, I would love to know what you think about it. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Karen, good morning. Karen in Texas, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Okay, Sandy, I just wanted to ask you, it does look bad of them pulling the passenger off the plane and everything and probably lawsuits and everything now. But I wanted your thoughts on, is the airline legally able to put him like on a list where he can't fly on their planes? And maybe that would have been a better option, just to let the passenger know, you know, if you choose not to deplane, then you're going to be put on a list and we'll pick someone else, but you won't be able to fly on the plane on our planes again.
Well, you know what? That's probably a good solution, Karen, but I imagine in that moment, nobody was thinking that clearly. You know, as I understand it, the every attendant on that, at least my understanding is every single person on the plane working went to try to reason with him and try to get him to get off the plane, and he just refused. And so then they had to call the air marshals. It was law enforcement, uniformed police of some variety. And, you know, when uniformed police tell you to do something, they tried to reason with him, too, and he refused. What are they supposed to do? You know, my husband was telling me a story yesterday about a woman, perhaps you guys saw this, too, a woman who had been, had been stealing things in Walmart, and she was caught on the video camera. She went to her car. She was there with her son, and the police came to apprehend her, and she wouldn't roll down the window. So she started gripping the steering wheel. She refused to comply. They had to drag her, just force her from the car, which was a terrible scene. Everybody was filming it. People gathered around yelling at the police for doing this. And so then finally she would not stop fighting them. And they ended up having to tase her while the people jeered and hated the police. My point is, I guess I know I have a bias. I'm sick of people ignoring law enforcement. We have to have order here. Somebody has to be the boss in these situations, and somebody has to comply. We can't all rebel and dig in our heels and drag our feet down the aisle of an airplane or in a car. We have to comply, or we will fall into some sort of chaos. We already are. It's called lawlessness. But Karen, I think your suggestion is good. And maybe they'll come up with that, since they said they're going to review their policies. Anything else?
Well, And I agree, too. I mean, absolutely, we have to follow law enforcement. I'm just saying, take it a step further. And now, not only they need to stand up for their policy and say, you know, you should be removed, but if you're, you know, physically, if you're going to have lawsuits and all that, too, maybe now, looking back at it, they'll also put out there and let the passengers know you'll also be banned from flying on our planes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I
good
think
point.
You think twice before you do that, they fit.
Yep. That's a great suggestion, Karen.
That.
Yeah, thanks a lot. That's a great suggestion. Let's go to Stephen in North Carolina. Good morning, Stephen. What do you think?
Andy, when you buy a ticket on an airline, there's a lot of fine print on it. Just because you don't read it does not mean that you don't have to comply. And if you read the fine print, I'm sure it's in there that if you're going to get bumped, they have that option to bump you. He's one person. If those four flight attendants or members of the airline that needed those flights didn't get where they're going, how many other people would be without a flight? It sucks, but it is what it is. And you're right when it comes down to authority, like the man in New York who decided to fight the police because he didn't pay the tax on selling illegal cigarettes. What do you think is going to happen when you argue with the police? Do you honestly think you're going to win? Do you think the police are going to go, hey, you know what? You're right. I made a mistake. Go on about your way and continue your illegal activity.
You know, Stephen, doesn't it seem, it just seems like we've raised, it's not just the new generation, it's the parents too, who have never really been told no, never really disciplined, never really, you know, like if you didn't get your homework in, oh, well, that's okay. You can turn it in tomorrow. Or you got an L, we're not going to give you an F. We're not going to get no consequences. You know, no consequences, no boundaries, parents not giving their children any boundaries. And so they are shocked when there are actually rules that they have to follow and things that they, and consequences when they don't do it. I think it's a cultural, it's culture that we have built into our country, and this is the response to it. And so the people that enforce the rules, those are the bad people. Anybody, any parent listening to me that's been the disciplinarian among their kids understands that. You try to, set boundaries and make your kids mind, you are the bad person. You're the bad parent. This is just kind of, and this is what we're seeing. It's like bad parenting, the results of bad parenting everywhere around us. Stephen, have you ever been kicked off a flight?
No, ma'am. But the lack of respect for authority, our nation is much like the nation of Israel right before they were taken captive. We've turned our back on God. We have no respect for authority. We have no respect as a country for the ultimate authority, which is God. So we're ripe for God to exercise his judgment, his righteous judgment against us.
Yeah. I agree with you, Stephen, and it's pretty appalling. Thanks a lot. I appreciate your comments. Let's go to Diana in Texas. Diana, you work on an airline?
Yes, I did.
Well, then I do want to know what you think.
I think there's more to the story than what we see. First of all, if the gentleman was serious and he was a doctor who needed to be back, if he had just stepped quietly out and talked to the airline, they would have accommodated him. But in this case, I think he just wanted to stir trouble. He wanted to get attention. He wanted to just be belligerent, actually. That's my opinion. And I have worked with people who have had problems and have been upset. And I know if you work with them properly, you can work out the situation without this kind of conflict. Yeah. But in this case, I agree. They should have taken him off the plane.
Yeah. And
he wasn't going to cooperate.
I was just going to say, I don't think his injuries were not inflicted by them. I think he hit his head. But how are you? You put yourself in jeopardy if you are kicking and screaming, and they're trying to,
right.
And you know you have to get off the plane. Then you have some. You bear responsibility in part for whatever injuries you get. You can't blame them for
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Diana, how does this? Are you currently working as a flight attendant?
No, ma'am. I'm retired now.
I just think it must be now. You know, my husband just flew back from a trip yesterday, and he was telling me that The last people to get on the plane he was on, and it was a pretty full flight, was a dad and a little, like a three-year-old. And so they announced on the speaker, we're looking for two seats together with someone who has a window seat. Can we move you to a window seat up close in front here so that we can have, two seats in the back for this dad and little child? Silence. No one offers. So the next thing was the flight attendant asked, there was an older gentleman at a window seat, able-bodied but older. And so she said, sir, would you be willing to just move two seats back to that window seat, and we will help you with your things. I forgot what all they said they would do. We'll help you, and so that this dad, and would you believe he refused? He would not do it. And so you're dealing with people. It goes both ways. People have just lost civility, don't you think?
Yes, they have. There's a lot of that going on. It's sad, but it's true. But in the case of this gentleman, well, a lot of the people on the plane that are supporting it, too, I think, have lost civility. But this gentleman, if he was sincere and he had to be there as a doctor, if he would have quietly just obeyed them and talked to them, they would have accommodated him. But that wasn't the situation. I think he deliberately wanted to make some kind of commotion.
Yeah, he certainly did that. He actually got on the plane twice. He came back on. I don't think that people know that. He was out of control. All right, I got to move on. But, Diana, thanks so much. Let's go to Stanley in Ohio. Stanley, good morning. You're a former police officer?
Yes, good morning, Sandy. Good to talk with you.
Thank you. What do you think, Stanley?
Two things. People have already kind of beat up my first perspective, and that is that you've said it so many times that we have just gotten to the point where in society we just want to be disobedient. We don't want to follow laws. We disrespect authority. You've beat that up plenty. So obviously, if an authority figure gives you direction, you just simply do it. They can't just take no for an answer from you. They must insist that you follow the law. The only other thing I'd like to say on the other side is United has to understand that, customer satisfaction should be important. I don't know why they simply didn't just have four seats that they absolutely just save, never gets filled just in case this kind of thing happens. And then at the end, you could always fill it by your standby. I think that's the only problem I really see with that. They could have handled it a better way. However, that person has to obey.
Yeah, no, that's a great suggestion. We've had three great suggestions. So honestly, we're into problem solving, and I think that those are great. Stanley, thanks a lot. Let's go to Susan in Texas. Good morning, Susan. What do you think?
I totally agree with all of your callers. I think we need to be obedient and respect authority. And clearly this man was unstable. My husband works for the airline, so I know there's fabulous passengers and fabulous attendants. People will go out of their way to accommodate each other. This is just a scenario that's just like from the Twilight Zone. We don't even know what would have happened if that man was left on the plane. We have no idea. So I don't know if things would have gotten worse. He just seemed like a irate toddler.
Yeah. I agree with you, Susan. Another good point. I'm sorry I didn't get to all the calls. I do want to say this. This doctor was charged in 2005 with 98 felony drug counts for illegally prescribing and trafficking painkillers. And allegedly he did this in exchange for sex. So he doesn't have a great history. And I think unstable would probably capture, if you see the video, and he's screaming and waving his arms. What rational doctor does that? I don't know of one, actually. And so, I'm taking the side of the airlines on this. I am. So you can send your email, sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net. Hey, listen, have a wonderful day, and go forth and obey the law and be respectful, good citizens. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.